Good evening, everybody. Thank you. Before we launch into what we have to share with you this evening, we'd just like to say thank you for the interest shown and prayer support that we had both prior and during our visits to South Africa. Thank you particularly to the mission team, to our house group, and to Emma, who contacted us while we were away asking for our prayer requests. Thank you.
So we'd like to take this opportunity to share with you our experiences last year during visits to South Africa. And at the same time, we'll be referring to these two verses from Romans chapter 12 that have been read to us by Leslie. This morning's theme was "Don't worry." This evening's theme is "Be transformed." So firstly, I want to go through some context to our visit, why we went, where we went, and what we did. So why did we go? Through our professional work, over several years now, we've learned about a charity in Amersham called the Rope Charity. Rope supports transformational Christian projects throughout the world, usually in very poor areas, led by Christian visionaries working in small teams, but making a big impact on people's lives. We've been supporters of Rope for some time. 100% of all the money given to their projects goes to overseas work, which is unusual. In 2017, we were approached by the then leader of the organisation, who asked if we could help with specific projects. The first was a possible project in Kathmandu, in Nepal, where we visited with our daughter, also in 2017. There's some information on Rope over on the side there if anybody wants to look at it afterwards. So where did we go? Last year they asked if we would go to Roodervaal, a township in Worcester near Cape Town, to help with a project called the Changemakers Project. This map shows you where Worcester is. Very close to Cape Town. It's a lovely town in a valley surrounded by mountains, but with townships or large estates that are often affected by drug addiction, by alcoholism, gang warfare, violence, and crime. Less than 20% of the children in the town grow up with a father figure at home. And there is significant unemployment. This table compares Eastleigh with Worcester, firstly in relation to its population, and secondly with its crime statistics. Worcester has only 75% of the population of Eastleigh, but a higher incidence of crime. The likelihood is that many of the crimes are linked. The Changemakers Project is about helping men who have been involved in addictions and criminal activity, helping them follow Jesus in order to be transformed, lead more peaceful lives, and be reintegrated with their families and society. Currently, 16 men are taken on at a time and live together for 6 months, so 32 men go through the project each year. The lady who leads the project is Irina. She has devoted her life to working for change in the Worcester townships. She gets up very early each morning to pray and work through arrangements for the day. The level of crime is high throughout the wider area, but the Changemakers programme has been instrumental in bringing peace to Roodervaal. So what did we do? Our remit from the Rope Charity was firstly to assess a specific property, this Mariah House, in terms of its suitability for the Changemakers project. And should it be suitable, to advise on and to negotiate lease terms. So they didn't want to invest in the project without it being secure for at least 10 years. To advise on and specify a costly programme of works to the building and to assist with bookkeeping systems. Changemakers had to move out of the accommodation they were in previously, but had been granted permission to use this property temporarily. The building was sound and quite spacious, but tired and in poor condition. Tobias, ably assisted by his wife, came on board as the building contractor, who we met and selected whilst we were there, and eventually proved to be God's man for the job. So these are some pictures of the inside of the property. Firstly, the kitchen, the meeting room, and one of the dormitories. And this is a picture of the surrounding area, with Tina being escorted by her bodyguards. After we'd helped to assess the property and the works needed and helped to secure the 10-year lease, Rope released funds and the works took place over the summer of 2018. The project was able to continue running while the work was being done. Tobias was happy to contract men who had lived at Moriah House when it was used years ago as a home for street children. This is a picture of Irina with Danville, who did the kitchen fitting, and here with Richard, who did the painting. Both these men had lived in Moriah House and had been helped by Irina when they were children. In November, we were privileged to be able to return and see the building refurbished and in operation as a welcoming and functioning home for the changemakers. We were also able to take part in the opening ceremony. And here are some pictures of both the outside and the inside of the property after the refurbishment, with the new kitchen and the meeting room and again the dormitory. The building is now much more fit for purpose, and it was a real privilege to be involved with the project. Over to Tina.
So Romans 12, verse 2, is a key verse for the changemakers. I'll just read it again. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This verse appears on some of the T-shirts that the changemakers wear. This is the logo that they use, a man in a stance of praise and openness and confidence, with a Bible reference, Romans 12, 2, at the bottom. As we share some of the stories of the men, we think you will see how this verse is a very apt choice, and that it is a verse that we would do well to take to heart ourselves. Of course, verse 2 follows on from verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And in this, Paul is lovingly pleading with his readers, who are believers, to offer their whole selves to God. He urges them to do this because he knows that to be caught up in certain practices and thinking of this world is damaging and restricting and is not honouring to God. Paul has spent 11 chapters in his letter to the Romans before this, reminding them of and explaining some great gospel truths. I'll try to summarise them now. We have all done wrong and fallen short of God's standard of holiness. Jesus, who had done nothing wrong, chose to die in our place, to bear the punishment for our sin, that is, for our bad thoughts and actions. By doing this, he made a way for us to be reconciled to a holy and loving God. Eternal life is a free gift from God. It cannot be earned. There is now no condemnation for those who receive Jesus. Nothing can separate us from God's love. In view of all this that God has done for us, Paul says, surely you can see that the appropriate response is to offer yourself, body and mind, to God. This is true worship. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? All of us have a choice as to whether we do this, a choice as to whether we give our whole selves to God or whether we keep some parts of our lives for ourselves. We have a choice as to whether we let hurts from the past determine our thinking and behavior or whether we give them to God and let his truth change us. In the past, the changemakers' men, often because of difficult circumstances and because they haven't understood God's love and purpose for them, have conformed to the less savoury aspects of this world. Many have been seeking acceptance, but in doing so have ended up in gangs, becoming dependent on drugs, and living a life that's coloured by violence and crime. Family relationships have been strained or broken. Some men have ended up in prison. Here are some pictures of lovely men who have had a dark past, but who were brave enough to seek help. So, this is Obin, and this is Clinton, wearing the Changemakers t-shirt. This is Edmund. It's Reggie, seen in the foreground there, and here he is again. Reggie shared his testimony with us while we were with the men, and again recently by email. He grew up without a father in a violent, crime-ridden area of Worcester. His younger brother was shot and killed. He moved to Cape Town. In his words, "Rejection took me to a dark place of abusing drugs and the high life. Early in December 2007, I nearly died of a drug overdose and was sent to hospital for a few days. He was found in a back alley in a pool of blood. That is the night I saw God and called out to him to save my life. After a few days, my drug friends called me to say, 'There's a party.' Again, I went on a drug binge and the same thing happened to me like before. Symptoms of drug overdose. I got myself to hospital, but the nurses refused to help me because I was there a week ago. That night, I knew I was going to die. I remembered a hymn that my late grandfather, who was a preacher in church, used to sing, 'Great is thy faithfulness,' and I started to sing it. As I did, the dark forces left me, coming back to me every time I stopped singing. While standing in the corridor of the hospital, I said to God, 'If you let me live, I will give myself to you.' At 6 o'clock that morning, I ran from hospital and found a church. I sat in front of that church until the service started. While I sat there, I could see all my sins like a movie playing on the big window of the church. When people arrived, I slipped in, dirty, bare feet, stinking. When someone asked me if I wanted to give my heart to Christ, I said yes, and he took me to the altar, and I invited Jesus Christ in my heart." As an aside, what an encouragement to those of us who pray for our children and grandchildren who do not yet know the Lord. It reminds me of Psalm 103, verse 17, which I claim as a promise. "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children." Reggie made a decision to cry out to God and to give his body to the Lord. He returned to Worcester, where Irina saw him at church, came over to him, hugged him, and told him that God loved him very much, and so began his connection with Changemakers. All the men on the Changemakers program have chosen to submit to the program. And that means that they're also choosing to leave behind activities that weren't wholesome and to receive the mercy of God. It's not easy for them. When they first arrive, they have to spend time in the detox room where they're given medication to help them sleep off the effects of their addictions. They have to learn a whole new way of life, but they have the support of others who know what it is like to go through what they're going through and who have come out the other side. They stay in this supportive environment for 6 months. When they join the program, they have to agree to abide by 10 principles of sobriety. These involve them accepting responsibility for their past actions and also forgiveness, but also accepting responsibility for doing what they can to change. But note number 6, you may just be able to read it there. I will seek the support of the Lord and of those who understand my problem to sustain the lifestyle changes vital to my long-term sobriety. They cannot do it alone. You may not be a drug user or addicted to alcohol. Perhaps you're wondering how all this relates to you. But we're all tempted to think of ourselves and others in ways that may lead us to use our bodies to behave in unhelpful or wrong ways. Some of us may struggle with eating issues. Some of us may stay up late gaming or chatting online when our body's really crying out for rest. Some of us may give in to unwholesome sexual thoughts. We may be apt to gossip about others. We may not exercise. Perhaps we watch too much television. I had to make a decision to give up watching Neighbours years ago because I realised that it was taking over my thinking. Perhaps we are just not offering our body back to God to use in ways that will help others and further God's kingdom. Perhaps some of us have heard God tell us to go somewhere or do something for him, but we're staying right where we are because we are afraid or unwilling to be challenged. When we arrived back in Worcester in November this year, I said to Irina, I'd love you to tell me more about your program. It seems to be so successful in helping men out of addiction. She said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. We have to make a decision to offer our whole selves to the Lord. We have to desire not to conform to wrong thinking and bad practices of the world around us. But ultimately, it is by the power of the Spirit that we are changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We're going to sing a song now, Thank You for Saving Me. And then there'll be a little bit more sharing afterwards.
But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Verse 2. So it's not really about self-help. It's not about individual determination or self-help programs, because they will never be enough. It's about the work of God's Holy Spirit within us. When people were first created, we were in God's likeness. God formed us and breathed his life into us. The starting point was good. It was very good. But Adam and Eve believed the serpent's lie, and sin entered our nature. We still listen to the evil one's lies and distortions of the truth that are whispered in our ears. For me, it's you can't go into that social situation because your eyes are red and sore, or you can't speak publicly because your voice isn't good enough. We all have our demon voices, lies designed to hold us back, to prevent us from being what God wants us to be and prevent him from working through his divine plan in our lives. Lies to which our response must be to speak out and hold on to God's truth. Truths like, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12. Or, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. God sees the best in us. He breathes his Holy Spirit into us. We are now a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. We are loved by God and are being made again into his likeness. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Our focus should be on what we are in Christ and not on what the devil might be whispering in our ears. In South Africa, we saw that many of the men who had been through the Changemakers programme were focusing not on what they had been, violent or addicts, feeling worthless, but on who they are in Christ, on what their gifts are and how they might use them. Those who have made a commitment to follow Jesus continue to encourage one another. They call themselves the faithful ones and are led by Obin. To be truly transformed and used by God, we need to spend time with him and become like him. We need to allow God to work through us to influence our thoughts, words, and actions so that our short time on this earth is of value, so that it counts for something. What we look at and listen to affects our thoughts and may also affect our actions. Watch violent or immoral films, we may become aggressive or immoral. Look at pictures of self-harm when we are feeling low, and as recent evidence has shown, we may end up self-harming. Study Christ, spend time with him, remind ourselves of what his word says about us, and guess what? The Holy Spirit transforms us so that we become more and more like Jesus. Before I hand back to Tina, I'd like to share with you a picture that God gave me just before a meeting to discuss the Changemakers' business plan and their vision for the future. It is relevant to our own situation here at Eastleigh Baptist Church and Wells Place, where we need to develop a plan, but first we must spend time seeking God's vision for us. How many of you remember Johnny Wilkinson?
Yes.
And I thought Toby might answer that. So he played rugby for England and is acknowledged to be one of the best players of all time, the only man to have scored in more than one World Cup in 2003 and 2007. I remember watching him at the time because he had a very distinctive technique. He would place the ball on the ground and then he would hold his hands together and he'd look up at the goalposts for what seemed like a very long time. He then looked back down at the ball, kick it quickly, and every time he would score. So isn't that what we should be doing? If we want to be transformed, we want a clear vision. We want to make a difference. Yes, we need to get on with our daily lives. Yes, we need to keep our eyes on the ball. But first, we need to pray, to look to God, to seek him. There's no doubt that this is what Irina does and why she's had such a positive effect on so many. So let's keep looking up.
So if we offer our bodies to the Lord in response to his love for us, and if we do not conform to wrong practices, but allow our minds to be transformed by spending time with Jesus and getting to know him, then Paul says, we will learn to know God's will for us, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There's enormous benefit in offering ourselves to the Lord. It glorifies him, but it also puts us in a place of freedom and of purpose. It's wonderful to see how the change makers men are finding new purpose and hope. They are discovering God's will for their lives. There's evidence of the change that is being worked out in them. They are a loving community. They are a worshipping community. They pray for one another. Here they're praying for Obin before he had surgery. They've made efforts to be reconciled with their families. They have a reconciliation breakfast to which family and friends are invited when the men publicly ask forgiveness from their families. That's what's happening in that slide there. Many have married their girlfriends and now spend time with their children. Changemakers runs fatherhood camps to help them grow in this. When they're on the program, they help with community projects. And many who have completed the program are holding down jobs, which is quite remarkable in a place where unemployment is so high. A number of them work in the local spa, and it was lovely when we went back there in November. We went shopping in spa and we were recognized. It was really nice. Some of the men have been trained to print t-shirts and help run a small business called Boa Boa. And that name, we thought of snake, but actually it comes from a tree that is also known as the tree of life. And it's one of the aims of Changemakers to find more ways of training men in different skills that will give them gainful employment. Local children are attracted to Moriah House, and the men invite them in to watch films and to feed them, because they're not necessarily well fed. And here they are queuing up for a meal that the men had made while we were there. This was a Christmas party that the men gave for the local street boys. Generally, the men are using their God-given talents and learned skills in ways that help others. Reggie, whose testimony we shared, now delivers the teaching element of the course and leads the men in Bible study. The Lord grew a strong desire in him to share biblical truths with other young men and to share with them so that they're equipped to do the same for others. Reggie is radiant. There's no sign of the darkness that once engulfed him, although no doubt there are times when he, like us all, needs to be reminded again of God's special love for him. Reggie has found God's particular purpose for his life. As a church, we've said that we want to know God's particular will for us, and we're on this vision discovery journey. As part of that journey, I think we need to offer our bodies, our whole selves, as a living sacrifice, and allow the Lord to renew our thinking so that we are able to receive what he has to give us. His will for us is good and pleasing and perfect. I'm reminded that in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and our Father God will respond by giving us good gifts, by giving us his Holy Spirit. We're going to sing a song in a moment. The title is actually The Power of Your Love, and we've chosen it because it echoes some of Romans 12, 1 to 2. In a way, the title itself says it all. When we were at Changemakers, someone mentioned a man who'd been on the program previously, and Mia is here on this slide, who helps also on the program, said, "Oh, he was my favorite." And Irena laughed and explained to us that Mia talks of each of them as her favorite. And it made me think that this is a truth about God. We're apt to say that God has no favorites, but actually, we're all his favorites. Each one of us is the apple of his eye. So let this song speak to you of the power of God's love for you. It reminds us that it is by coming to the Lord, enjoying intimacy with him, receiving his love, forgiveness, and grace, that we are transformed and empowered to live for him.